Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 14. Begin our reading in verse number 22. The Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side." Now, I read that on purpose to emphasize something that never really stuck out to me till this morning, in fact, where verse 22, he said, to go before me. And then this next word is small but big, and that's the word unto. The word unto means point reached. And when God puts an unto in your life, there's not enough devils or storms or difficulties to stop the unto ministry of God.
Amen.
When He declares a point reached, that point will be reached. It may not look like it at times. It may not feel like it at times. And amen, you may not be able to get a council together and get an agreement that you're going to make it. But when God put and decreed and predetermined an unto ministry or an unto point in your life, thank God it cannot be canceled. It cannot be deterred and detoured. It'll happen. Amen? As we read in the text. To go before him unto the other side. While he sent the multitudes away, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship, now think about it, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. I declare I felt that way many times in my life as a Christian. As a Christian, I felt like that ship being tossed and blown about and filling up with water and looked to be going under. Amen. The ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them. I didn't see it this morning, but I just now saw it. There's another unto. I just now saw the second unto. God put an unto about you, and then God puts an unto about him. Amen? Point reached. You say, "Preacher, will he ever, can he get to where I'm at? Does he know where I'm at? Does he know what's going on in my life?" Oh, he's got an unto ministry. He's got an unto promise. He's got an unto decree that he has determined. Amen? The same storm, this is developing as I speak, but as the storm tried to prevent the unto word that God put on them, that to go before him unto the other side, that same storm that tried to stop them and prevent that unto from happening is also the same storm that was trying to prevent Jesus from getting to them. But the same word used there in both places, God says unto. You're going unto, point reached, the other side. And then the Bible said that in the fourth watch of the night, which is the darkest part of the night, storms are raging. The same storm that's tossing the ship was not tossing the Savior. y'all didn't get that. I'll wait on y'all to wake up. I'll wait on you to quit fooling around. You need to get that. The same storm that was able to toss a ship and toss the saints was not able to toss the Savior. What they was worried about, he was walking on. Amen. Thank God. Don't forget it. God's able to reach you. Amen. The Bible said in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Now what about that? They were troubled. And here's what the Bible said in verse number 26. When they saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. They didn't even recognize him. You know what potentially could happen in storms of your life when they go, and storms will be a part of your life. Saved or lost, you're going to go through storms in your life. There's going to be times that you won't know which end's up. You won't hardly know which way to go. It'll be dark. There'll be dark times in your life. There'll be contrary winds blow against you in your life. There'll be times, my friend, that you're even going to wonder, am I going to make it? There'll be storms. It's not are they going to come, it's when they are going to come. It's not a matter of if, it's a when issue. And the Bible said that when they saw him, they were troubled. And here's why. They didn't recognize him. If you're not careful, you'll get so bent out of shape over the storm that you'll lose discernment about spiritual things.
Yes, sir.
If you're not careful, my friend, and there's several examples of that in the Scripture, where people got discouraged or where people got in a situation and they didn't even recognize Jesus. Right here's a classic example of that. They're seeing the very one that told them to get in the ship to begin with, and they didn't even recognize him. They thought he was a spook. They thought he was some spirit. But it was him all along. They didn't recognize him. You remember Mary when she came to the tomb? She was so tore up and burdened. And she was talking to him and didn't even know it. Until Jesus spoke her name, Mary, she didn't even know it was him. She thought he was the gardener. Remember in John 21 when the disciples was discouraged, and they said, Peter said, "I go fishing." And the rest of them said, "We're going with you." Amen. And guess what? Jesus standing on the shore said, "Children, have you any meat?" And they didn't even know who it was. Didn't know who it was. I'm telling you, you can get in a shape spiritually where you are sometimes hard to recognize what God is saying and what God is doing. Your help might be in your presence and you may not even detect it. And they cried out for fear, and straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." See, Peter still, I just noticed this. Even though Jesus had identified himself, "It is I. Be not afraid." Look what Peter said. "Lord, if..." Hey, can I tell you something? Those two words don't go together. "Lord, if..." Lord is a statement. "If" is a question. Amen. "Lord, if it be thou." Amen. Some of you might get some help if you get some little ifs out of your life. Amen. Amen. If. It's just two letters, but my friend, it can control you. That's not the message or wasn't planning to be, but I want you to get that. "If it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." Peter should have never asked that. Peter should have said, "Lord, you said it's you. That's good enough. I should bank on your word. You said it's you. You spoke it. You said it is I. Be not afraid. That is good enough. If God says it, that settles it." We should never attach things to it and say, "God, if it's really you, if you didn't really say that." But even though Jesus knew that, Jesus still said, "Come." And boy, was Peter in for a lesson that he never forgot. He said, come. And verse 29, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, beginning to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Amen. God may be wanting to use your storm to reveal and prove who Jesus is. Peter was in a storm. He even went through a sinking experience, but yet God used that whole situation to prove that He was the Son of God. Others came and worshipped Him. Amen? You better watch how you act and react in a stormy time, because there's people watching your life. And how you do reflects on who Jesus is. But I'm interested this morning for a few minutes, verse 30, where the Bible said, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. I want to preach this morning on saved from sinking. Saved from sinking. Amen. No doubt God has ordered this morning, saved from sinking. If you're here today lost without God, can I tell you, you're sinking. You say, no, preacher, it's getting better. My life's getting better. Everything's on the up and up. No, it's not. If you had the time and I had the time and you wanted me to, we could take the Word of God and show you place on top of place on top of places in the Scripture, passage after passage, that shows that your course as a believer is not on the up and up. As an unbeliever, it's not on the up and up. Your path as a lost person is on the down and down. Amen. It's getting worse and worse. The burden and the load and the weight and the condemnation of sin upon your life is getting heavier and heavier and heavier. Sin will wear you out. The Bible says that the way of a transgressor is hard. That's what the Bible says. Sin will wear you out. Sin will wear you out. Oh, we've all seen people that lived in their life of sin. And oh, look at them. Look at them. It's no wonder that most of those that's real popular, that's projected on the screen in your home or wherever, my friend, they look attractive, but they've got about a half an inch of makeup on. Why? Try to cover up the misery. Try to cover up the emptiness. Amen. Amen. Oh, I want to say to you this morning, if you're lost and you are sinking, amen, you may not be aware of it, but you are sinking. Be a happy day in your life when you look around and say, you know, life surely must be better than this. There's got to be something better than this. My life is nothing but a reciprocating event. I just go round and round and round and round. Where I am today, I was a few days ago or a few months ago. What life is that? That's not worth a dime. Amen. That's not worth anything. Oh, listen. If you're lost, you're sinking. But I'm really burdened this morning to preach as the context would present. This wasn't a lost man sinking. This wasn't an unbeliever that was sinking. This was Peter. This was one that had heard Jesus talk or teach, heard Him preach, saw Him do miracles, but yet here Peter is sinking. Amen. And he prays in verse number 30, beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." Now, he wasn't praying for salvation of his soul. That had took place when he had accepted Jesus as his personal Savior. But he was a praying that God wouldn't let him sink in the storm. He didn't want to go down. He wanted to go on and serve the Lord. Oh, if Peter can sink, you and I can as well. I jotted down a few things I felt like the Lord really wanted us to emphasize this morning. And just simple truths. And I believe the first thing He wanted me to share with you is simply this truth right here. And that is that sinking can happen. How many people that you see go to church that act like they're invincible? They act like they've got a big S on their chest and can fly through the sky and jump over buildings. But I want you to know the simple truth laid out in the text is you're not invincible. As a believer, you can sink, and we all know some that have. Amen. I know many, and you know many, that once, my friend once, had a testimony for God that have absolutely sunk in their circumstances. Sinking can happen. Can I say a second truth? And that is sinking can happen to the unexpected or the unsuspected. Who would have ever thought that Peter would sink? Of all people, you'd think Peter wouldn't sink. Who would you put in that category? Well, of all people, Mama wouldn't. Of all people, Daddy wouldn't. Of all people, my son wouldn't. Or my daughter wouldn't. Of all people, my granny wouldn't. Of all people, my preacher wouldn't. Oh, I'm going to tell you, we all possess, Brother Brian, the potential of sinking. And we ought to have a fear in our heart of sinking. Amen? That's right. Sinking can happen. Sinking can happen to the unsuspected. Then thirdly, sinking can happen personally. They weren't all sinking. There wasn't but one sinking. The rest of the people weren't sinking. Nobody else was sinking. But here Peter was in a situation, my friend, that he was sinking. Sinking can happen personally. You can belong to RBT and be sinking. You can be here at RBT, my friend, and be the only one here that's sinking. You can sink, my friend, and be exposed and be around all these other people that are not sinking. You can sink. Because you walking with God is a personal thing. Amen. You keeping your eyes upon the Lord. And then I jotted down another thing. Not only can it can happen, it can happen to the unsuspecting one. It can happen personally. See, you don't sink in groups. You sink personally. You don't lose ground spiritually. You don't lose ground, my friend, in congregations. You lose ground individually. And sinking implies the loss of ground. A decline, if you will, that's very visible to others. Let me say, not only can you, it can happen to the unsuspecting one. It can happen personally. But I'm going to say it can happen quickly. I'd say Peter was absolutely amazed how quickly he went from the surface and started a sinking process. I'm telling you, dear friend, we better get a hold of this morning, that you and I, no matter how much we've already walked with God, we can sink. Listen, Peter sank quickly. Amen. And then I wrote down as well that he sank. Regardless, listen, you can sink regardless to age, size, or experience. There was anybody that was a master of the water It was Peter. He was a professional fisherman by trade. He had been on those waters. He knew all about those waters. But yet, in spite of experience, in spite of age, in spite, my friend, of his size, you know, his reputation, he sank. Are you listening? It can happen quickly. It can happen regardless to your age, size, or experience. And then I'd like to mention this as well. You can sink in familiar waters. You can sink in familiar waters. Peter knew these waters well, Brother Rob. He knew them. He had spent many, many, many hours, many days, many nights on the very waters that he was now sinking in. And I'm telling you, if we're not careful, you can sink right in your own house. If you're not careful, you can sink, my friend, around familiar people. You can sink, my friend, on the job that you've worked on for years. You can sink at your church. You can get familiar with a position and sink even while teaching Sunday school. Sink while preaching. Amen. Well, Peter sank in familiar waters. They tell me, I don't know the statistics, I'd have looked it up if I'd have known I was going to use it this morning. They tell me most people have their car wrecks within so many very short few miles from their house. 2 miles. Have all kinds of wrecks 2 miles from their house. Why? They're familiar with all the turns and the curves and the stop signs, and they're familiar with all the traffic, they think, until one day there it is. The unexpected. Are you listening? But when you're on roads you don't know, you're alert. Beware of familiar waters, friend. Beware of familiar waters. You can sink even in familiar waters. Amen. Well, there are several things that we could deal with about that, and some principles you could lay out there. We know all about why he sank and all of that. But I'm interested what went on that instant he began to sink. Lord, save me. He began to sink. Didn't wait till he sunk. Didn't wait till he was out of sight. Didn't wait till he was so submerged in his circumstance that he hardly could say anything. Amen? But beginning to sink. And I want to just deal with these for a few minutes and lay them out before you. What happened that instant? That very moment. You said, preacher, it don't take long to sink. It doesn't take long to sink, but there was several things that transpired within inside Peter's mind and heart right there within just a matter of a second. And the first one is a realization he was sinking. I'm going to give you about four. He realized he was sinking. I know that's elementary. I know that's as simple as ABC and 2 plus 2 is 4. That is simple. But you'd be surprised how the devil wants to keep you blinded, keep you in darkness, keep you ignorant, keep you on alert of your sinking. Peter, my friend, cried out and said, Lord, save me. He wanted to be saved from sinking. Listen, and at that very instant, he realized he was sinking. You'll never get any help till you get honest with God about yourself. As long as you go to the altar and say, well, I tell you what, I'm doing just as good, Lord, as anybody else. Yeah, you're sure to get some help. Go to the altar and say, oh God, I know I'm not doing so well, but nobody else is either. Yeah, you're going to get plenty of help. Huh? I'm talking about friend honesty. Recognize it. Listen, I said it Friday night. You do well, I do well, to keep our eyes on our spiritual condition and notice decline. Notice when we began to sink. Not when we faltered and fell out of church and don't go to church and don't read our Bible and none of that. I'm talking about when we first began to sink, when we first start losing ground, when the gravitational pull of this sinking world starts pulling you down. You need to recognize that right quick. If you're going to be saved from sinking, there must be, number one, the realization that you're sinking. It must be real to you. I can look on as a pastor, and I do, as being an overseer. I'm watching for your soul. It's part of my business to notice. I want to tell you, a lot of times I see decline in people that they themselves are blind to it. Amen. Amen. People beginning to sink. I began to notice. I even stated this week about someone in the church. I said, I'm already seeing just a little cooling off. It's not hard to see unless it's yourself. We have 20/20 vision when we're looking at everybody else. I mean, we can see them, brother. We know them. We know the little speck of dust that's in their eye. We can tell it. That little mote that's in their eye there in Matthew 7. We know it. Hey, did you know, man, I've noticed them at our church. Man, they've got a bunch of motes in their eyes. That's just a little particle. A little particle. You'd have to get up real, really close to see it. But then at the same time, Brother Rob, that same crowd that's looking at motes in the other's eyes, the Bible said has got a beam in their eye. Now, seem to me, I mean, common sense helps you interpret the Bible a lot of times, but common sense would tell me that if I've got a railroad tie stuck in my eyeball, it'd be hard for me to help you get a little particle dust out of yours, Brother John. That's the way we are. We notice everybody else and their deficiency and their decline and all of that, when at the same time we're fixing to start sucking water down. Amen. God help us. I'm talking about realization, friend. Realize you're sinking. And there's no doubt that a lot of times through the song service and through the teaching of your Sunday school teacher, amen, and through the preaching of the Word of God and through your Bible reading, amen, and through circumstances, God is trying to tell you and shake you and say, you're a sinking. Now if you'll notice this, Jesus didn't tell Peter he was sinking. You ought to be so focused on your spiritual life, my friend, and keep your eye on it, my friend, and keep it measured up, keep it good and tight. You know what? That my friend Jesus Himself wouldn't even have to tell you you're sinking. You ought to be able to tell yourself I'm sinking. Amen? But there was the first step of getting help, being saved from sinking. And that, of course, that's applicable too if you're lost without God. When God, the Holy Ghost, makes you aware that you're sinking in sin and your life is going down the tubes and you're headed, my friend, for hell. Guess what? When you realize you're sinking, that's the first step for help. Amen. So there must be the realization that he was sinking. Happened right instant. Number two, the second truth of why of that happened that moment, Brother Carroll, that he was sinking. Not only was there the realization that he was, but there was also the recognition of why. Peter didn't have to go sit in a class. Peter didn't have to have somebody to say, now, sit down, Peter. I'm fixing to tell you. Here's da 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 da. 1, 2, 3, 4. Here's why you're sinking. No, the instant he started sinking, he knew why he was sinking. Amen. Once you realize you're sinking, it don't take a whole lot of looking around and considering and evaluating your life to know why. Amen. And if I'm sinking, I want to know why. Yes, sir. Right. Yeah. Amen. Makes sense, don't it? Amen. Well, Brother Chuck says amen. We got one listening. I mean, if I'm in trouble and I'm in danger and I'm sinking, I want to know why. Peter knew why immediately. That's right. Peter knew why immediately. He knew that he was sinking because of distraction. He knew immediately, I'm sinking because I've got my eyes off of Jesus.
and got my eyes on the storm
and noticing the waves and listening to the wind. Peter didn't have to be told that. He wasn't told that. He knew. I mean, you think about it. You're looking at Jesus. You're walking on water, praise God. Storm's raging, but it's not affecting you. Amen. Because see, look at this. When Peter was walking on the water, he was doing the same thing Jesus was. Amen. When you're looking at Jesus and allowing that to influence your life, guess what? You'll be brought into a likeness of Christ. God will infuse into your life. You say, preacher, I can't handle this storm. I can't handle these waves. Here, watch this. When you're following Jesus, my friend, and you've got your eyes on Him and He's your focus, guess what? He imparts and infuses into you the same power that enables Him to walk on the water.
Amen.
But when he took his eyes off of Jesus, and began to listen to the waves and the wind and feel them maybe splashing on his leg and all of that, immediately. The Bible did say, immediately. It beginning to sink. Amen? Are you listening? Oh, there must be the recognition of why. You know how to fix it? Hey, are you sinking this morning? You know how to fix it? Deal with whatever is causing you to sink. Duh! Brainstorm! Amen? Whatever's causing you to sink, deal with it! Because sinking, Brother Frankie, is not worth it. Because let me just let you on a little secret. You were not made to live underneath. Fish can live underneath. You was made to live on the top side of water. Amen. Amen. That's right. We don't have gills. I've seen a few that had fangs, but I've never seen, my friend, a human being that had gills. Amen. My ancestor didn't swim out of an ocean somewhere back 100 million years ago.
Amen.
Yeah. Now your ancestors might have resembled a toad frog or a monkey, but mine didn't. Amen.
That's right.
Now I'm talking about you need to know why you're sinking. And most of the time it'll be what you're looking at. Hey! It'll be what you're looking at. All I have to do is ask you, well, what you been looking at? Who you been looking at? Tell me what you been watching. And I'll say, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Amen. Amen.
Well, preacher, you know, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but I've been having this issue, and I've been having this problem. Sinking! Huh? And guess what? Can I say this? If you're sinking, you do know why.
Amen.
Don't go to the altar and say, well, preacher, you know what? My life's a wreck and I'm spiritually, I'm going down the tubes and I don't have no heart for God. And you know, I hadn't read the Bible, Lord knows when. And everything in the book comes out of my mouth. But preacher, I don't have a clue what's wrong with me. Now, you may tell that to some lame brain psychiatrist, but you're not telling me that. I don't believe a word of it. You know exactly why? Because I've been saved 28 years, soon to be 29, and I know when I get out of sorts with God, why? When I get cold, I know why. When I get distant, I know why. When I start sinking, I know why. And it can be traced to the eye gate. What have I been looking at? The gateway to the heart is through the eye. Jeremiah said, mine eye affecteth my heart. What have you been looking at? What's your focus?
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Amen. One lady came to the altar. She said, preacher, I don't know what's going on in my life. I'm in a mess, you know. There's something wrong with my life. I don't know what it is. He said, get in there in the altar and guess at it. After a while, she got up. You've heard me tell that. She got up. He said, well, how is it? She said, everything's fine. I guessed it first thing.
Amen.
You know what's wrong with you this morning. You try to blame. You can try to blame everybody and their brother. You can try, my friend, to say it's their fault, his fault. My friend Peter could have looked around at that bunch that's still in the boat and said, "Hey, it's your fault." But when you're sinking, that's no time to be blaming. That's a time to be praying. Because you may not have but just enough space to pray. Not enough space, my friend, to complain and murmur and blame somebody. Because when it comes time to pray, my friend, you may not be able to pray because your mouth will be full of your circumstance. Amen. Right. Amen. Oh, he realized that he was sinking. He recognized why he was sinking. It's what you're looking at. It's what you're listening to. You can listen to what you're not looking at. He probably heard the waves before he ever looked to see them. Because your ear will pull your eyes around. They are hooked to the same head. In case you've not noticed, your eyes and ears is on the same head. And they're both pretty close to your brain. So what you look at and what you listen to goes straight into the computer system and tells you what to do and how to act and how to feel and how to talk. And well, preacher, I'm just a victim of circumstances. Baloney. Or for you dignitaries, baloney. That's right. Amen. Hey, he, listen, realized he was sinking. He recognized, listen, he had a recognition of why. He knew it was a personal fault. You know when you'll get help? It's when you're able to go to God on a personal level and say, "Lord, I am sinking. It is my fault. I need help." Amen. Recognize why, man. We talk about it all. We can talk about it. Mention a third thing. That happened that instant that he started sinking. Realization that he was sinking. Recognition of why he was sinking. But then rejection of all other sources of help. Of all self-help. He absolutely realized, "I can't help myself. Have you ever sunk? You can splash and think you're a fish and claim to be a bird or whatever. You're going down, big boy. You know why? Watch it. It's natural to sink. By the way, I just thought I'd let you know. I don't see too many water walkers in here today. Amen. Amen. Hey, has anybody walked on water here this morning? You know why? When you get introduced to the water, it's natural for you to go under. I'm talking about rejection of all self-help. You know why? Because naturally, you don't have any ability to keep yourself afloat. Right. Sinking is natural. Standing on the water is supernatural, requiring, if you're gonna survive, my friend, and be saved from sinking, there's gonna have to be a supernatural work of God in your life. Amen. I believe that we have here, Brother Craig, a classic example of what Paul talked about in Galatians 5, 16 about what I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. The only thing that's going to keep your flesh from prevailing over you is a walk in the Spirit. A flesh walk is guaranteed to sink. Amen. Because it's a natural walk and it's natural to sink. But reject all self-help. Empty yourself. Sometimes you have to get to the altar and say, "God, I know why I sunk. I know why I'm sinking. But God, I don't have a quick fix." Amen. And he was sinking in spite of any effort. Sinking in spite of pride. Listen, sinking's not a good place for pride. Amen. Sinking's not a good place to be worried about reputation. Well, I wonder what they're going to think about me. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, there he was. Well, Peter was a good old man. Amen. You better reject everything you think you've got. Well, I'll fix it. I can do it. No. My last point is, there was a reliance upon the Lord. You need to get to Him. I'm talking about the instant he began to sing, he realized, I can't, but he can. And he said, Lord, save me.
Amen.
Where's your confidence at this morning? Where's your confidence at? There's a lot of things we could have dealt with this morning, a lot of things we could say. Do you know what Paul said in Philippians 3:3? Have no confidence in the flesh. Have no confidence in the flesh. Verse 4 of that same passage said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul said that. Here's what Proverbs 3:26 says, for the Lord shall be thy confidence.
Amen.
Amen. You're sinking, don't trust yourself. That's why you're sinking.
Yeah, right.
Self will sink you. Hello, friend. You better get a hold of that. Self will sink you. You say, no, preach, I love myself. No, your flesh don't love you.
Right.
You say, preacher, my flesh loves me, and I love it. Negative. 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 Your flesh does not love you. And I don't have time to deal with it, but you can look at. Are we dismissing? Where's everybody going? Last time I checked, I'm still preaching. What's the deal? That dinner will wait, praise God. Amen. We need preaching more than we need to eat anyhow. Amen. That's right. That's right. So, well, you might have offended somebody. Well, I have to get right. Amen. I got a message from the Lord, amen, and I'm not done with it yet.
Amen.
So that's a problem I always have, people getting done before I do. But where's your confidence at? Self will get you in trouble. Self, let me tell you what self will do. And a drug addict and an alcoholic's classic examples. Their flesh wants and craves the very thing that's killing them. The very thing that's destroying their home, the very thing that, my friend, is destroying their life and their decency, my friend, they live for it. Gotta have it. See, your flesh don't love you. Your flesh is being controlled by the god of this world, which is the devil himself. Ephesians chapter 2, if you want to read it. Listen, your flesh is an instrument through which the devil is carrying out his will. Your flesh don't love you. Your worst enemy is yourself.
Right.
Your biggest problem is yourself. Amen. You better have a reliance upon the Lord. Sinking is natural. Surviving is supernatural. Let me say this right here. You can tell who Peter relied on because it came out in his request. All I have to do is listen to you pray or ask you, tell me about some of the things you're praying about. Or even have you been praying? You know why you don't pray? You know times I don't pray? That's when self-reliance is in charge. Prayerlessness, write it down in your mind, prayerlessness is self-confidence. That's why we don't pray. Amen? Peter's reliance showed up in was revealed in his request. Amen. His confidence wasn't in man. His confidence wasn't in the flesh. He cried out to the one and the only one that could do something for him. Lord, save me. Amen. He cried out and said, Lord, that's the right person, isn't it? He didn't wait about going to Him and calling on Him. Hey, watch this right here. I could add this. You can sink even though you're close to Jesus. Peter was within an arm's reach of Jesus when he sunk. You can sink even though you've already walked several steps on the water. You can look at your life and say, look, praise God, look where I've been. Don't matter. You can sink right here. Peter didn't sink where he was. He sunk where he is. You know, where he used to be, sunk where he's at that moment. You're not in danger of sinking in your past. You're done past that. You're not in danger of sinking in the future. You may not get there. You're in danger of sinking where you're standing. In the day you're living, right here, today, on Sunday, you're in danger of sinking.
Amen.
Amen. Lord! Don't listen. If you're not interested in being saved from sinking, don't. Listen, if you're not interested in Him being Lord, if you're not interested in being Lord, don't just go on and sink. Because Lord means, Lord, I want You to be my Lord, my boss. I want You to be in charge. I'm not interested in just a quick fix. I'm not interested in just getting out of this situation right here, you know, making a deal with Him. When He addressed Him as Lord, He said, Lord, You're in your spot. You're in Your position. I'm sinking. You're not. Lord. Lord. And then He said, Lord, save me. That's the right plea. Lord, save me. Are you sinking this morning? Are you sinking this morning in your life? In your prayer life? Your desire to go to the house of God? Your desire to be involved in the things of the Lord? Are you sinking this morning? Your desire for purity? Are you sinking in regard to that this morning? Amen? I can't help you. Nobody else can help you. But Jesus can help you. But only, had not Peter prayed, Jesus would have let Peter sink. Jesus, listen, this is good right here. Jesus does not respond to a need. Jesus doesn't respond to a need. He responds to prayer and faith. Peter was sinking before he prayed. You know, if you got it all measured out there, he already started sinking before he prayed. Jesus could have reached him. The Bible said He stretched forth His arm, so He was close enough. Jesus could have just really been the caring Savior He is. He could have just, Peter, you know. But Jesus don't respond to needs. He responds to people's prayer. He responds to people's faith. Lord, help me, save me. Three-word prayer. See, it's not the length of your prayer that matters. It's the strength of your prayer that matters. Let's all stand to our feet.
God bless you. Thank you for visiting Rogersville Baptist Temple's website and for listening to this message preached at Rogersville Baptist Temple.